If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. We're going to be looking, just reading a few passages of Scripture this morning. Before we do that, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that you are our Father. You have called us as your children. You are the creator of all things, and yet we call you Abba. And so we come this morning worshiping you in spirit and in truth, and we pray that our time together would be a pleasing aroma to you, an aroma of worship. Father, we come confessing that we have failed this week, and we confess those sins, sins of commission and sins of omission and things we should have done and things we should not have done. We bring them before you and we lay them before you because you have promised to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we pray, Father, you would cleanse our hearts today. We pray as we take a short time looking in your word, as we celebrate the ordinances that you have left for the church, that you would bless this time, that we use it in our lives for your glory and for our good, that you would mold us more into the image of your Son this day, that we will go away knowing that we have worshiped the true and living God. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Baptism is an ordinance of the Lord Jesus, obligatory upon every believer, wherein he is immersed in water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as a sign of his fellowship with the death and resurrection of Christ, of remission of sins, and of his giving himself up to God to live and walk in newness of life. It is prerequisite to church fellowship and participation in the Lord's Supper. I hope those words are familiar to you. If you're a member of Providence Church, you have read those words before at least one time. Some of you maybe not for a long time if you've been members here for a while, but those words come from our confession of faith, which comes from a document that was written in 1858, the Abstract of Principles, which came from a number of other documents dating back as far as 1689 with the London Baptist Confession. Those are words that we have held in the church throughout history. But those are more than just words. Today we witness and we will participate in two ordinances that Jesus left for the church, baptism and the Lord's table of communion. The Lord's table is a picture of the death and the suffering of Christ on the cross. Baptism, of course, gets its meaning from the Lord's suffering on that cross. But not only from the Lord's suffering on that cross, it's the importance of baptism that comes from his suffering on the cross, that the death of Jesus, who is the Son of God, in our place for our sins, and his triumph over death in the resurrection that guarantees our new life and guarantees our everlasting life. Baptism has meaning and importance only because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And that is the ultimate importance because it's an importance for our rescue from the wrath of sin that was to fall on us, that fell on Jesus Christ, that brings an everlasting joy and an expectation of presence in the presence of our Lord. So we're talking today really about the gospel, aren't we? What is the gospel? Well, the gospel has been defined this way. It has been explained as this: the just and loving creator of the universe has looked down upon hopelessly sinful people and sent his Son, God in the flesh, to bear his wrath against sin on the cross and to show his power over sin in the resurrection so that all who trust in him will be reconciled to God forever. If you don't hear anything else that's said this morning, I hope you hear that. I hope you hear the gospel that the creator of the universe looked on our hopelessness and our sin, and he sent his son, who is God in the flesh, to take on the wrath that belongs on us on the cross. And he was raised with power over sin. And if we trust in him, we will have reconciliation. We will have peace with God for all eternity. You need to hear that if you are not a believer, because this is your only true hope in life. You need to hear that if you are a believer, because you need to be reminded of the gospel for life and godliness. And you need to hear that if you are a candidate for baptism, because when you are baptized and you come out of that water, that is a sign of the assurance of your salvation, the eternal hope that you have of living in the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness will dwell. The gospel is all important. And so for these few moments that we have, and we're going to spend just a few moments here, we want to look at three questions about baptism that will bring hope to the lost, that will bring a renewed commitment of godliness for the believer, and that will remind us of the glorious future of hope that we have if we believe in him. Those questions are very simple. What is baptism? What does it do? And what is its purpose? When we look at what is baptism, well, baptism is first of all a command, isn't it? We call it an ordinance. It's a command that we get from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, when Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples, doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you, and I will be with you to the end of the age. And so this is an ordinance of Jesus. Ordinance means it's ordained by Christ. Being ordained, it is a commandment. It is a commandment that the church does until Christ returns and sets up his kingdom in the new heavens and the new earth. So being a commandment, baptism is an act of obedience. It is a command that five people today are following in obedience to Jesus Christ. They are witnesses of their obedience to Christ. Baptism is also a dunking, isn't it? You know, there are people in early American history who were called dunkers. Those were Baptists. They were dunkers as opposed to sprinklers. And we believe baptism is to be done by immersion. And we see that in Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 6 says, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And then in verse 16, it says, after Christ was baptized, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. If we look at John chapter 3, verse 23, we know they baptized in a certain area. Why? Because it says in that verse, because water was plentiful there. So they went into the water. They went in and out of the water. It indicates baptism was by immersion, but the word itself, the Greek word baptizo, which we get our baptism from, we call him John the Baptist. He was really John the Baptizer. It would have been better if they had not just transliterated that word, but we see that word throughout the New Testament, and the meaning is to dip completely, to immerse, to submerge. Even when they dyed a piece of cloth, it says it's baptized into the dye. It's completely submerged into the dye. So this becomes a symbol for us, because there are figurative uses throughout the New Testament of this word baptizo. When you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, we're told that when you are by the Holy Spirit baptized, you are baptized into the body of Christ, meaning you are literally immersed into, or you're buried into, or you are submerged into the body of Christ. John the Baptist, he came preaching about two baptisms, didn't he? He preached about the baptism of repentance, which was by immersion in water, and he talked about the baptism of fire. And he mentions that in Matthew chapter 3, in verse 11, he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And what does that mean? He explains it. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Everyone on the earth is going to go through a baptism. It's either going to be a baptism immersed in water, or it's going to be a baptism immersed in judgment. And today we're focusing on the baptism in water, but even those, in all of those uses, those metaphoric uses of baptism, the idea is to be completely submerged. Either you're completely submerged into judgment, or you're submerged into water, or you're submerged fully into the body of Christ. This water immersion, it's a picture, isn't it? It's a metaphor. It's an object lesson. The theologians say that it is a physical analogy of a spiritual reality. Here's the point. Baptism is how God wants to teach a most wonderful truth. And that is this: the union of the believer into the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. Baptism is about the gospel. What does it do? What does baptism do? Well, one thing it does not do is save. 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism is like this, and baptism saves you. I'm going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 just for a moment. Take a quick look at this. Water is a symbol of judgment in this passage. In 1 Peter chapter 3, he's talking about the flood and Noah, and he says in verse 20, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the day of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, baptism is like this. Baptism is like what? Well, baptism is like the water. The water was a sign of judgment for Noah. And God brought Noah through the waters, just as he brings believers through the waters of baptism by Christ's triumph over death. And so the saving power of baptism is not in the water, it's in the resurrection of Jesus. Noah and his family, they were taken through the judgment by the ark. The ark brought them through the waters. God saved eight. God drowned millions of people. Rain came and the waters came up through the earth and the world was destroyed. But God spared eight. Millions died, but Noah's family walked on the new earth. We go through judgment, the judgment of God in Christ. That is the ark of Christ takes us from this world to the next world. So we have no fear in death. Why? Because Christ conquered death in his resurrection. So what does baptism do? It shows us our union with Christ in his death and his resurrection. Very quickly, and I'm watching the clock because we have a lot to do today. When you think of baptism through Scripture, in the Old Testament, when a Gentile wanted to become a Jew, wanted to join the people of God, there was a ceremony of three steps. One was circumcision. It had to be circumcised. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant of God with his people. It was also an act of purification, and that's easy to see. You know, we just, circumcision is, well, you know what circumcision is, but we just keep producing sinners throughout history. We keep producing sinners. But after the circumcision, there was an immersion in water. And that was to show that they were dead to their old life. When they were Gentiles, God was not in their presence. They didn't have the word of God. They didn't live under the promises of God. They did not live with the people of God. And so this was a sign of dying to all of those things and being raised to a new life and a new people, the people of God. And the final part of that was animal sacrifice. An animal was sacrificed, and some of the blood was sprinkled on the Gentile who was converting to Judaism. And it was a sign that his sins were forgiven by a substitute. Now we move to the New Testament, and John the Baptist comes in, and he is preaching a baptism of repentance. The Jews would have been very familiar with this, but what is unique about John's baptism, it's no longer for the nation of Israel. It's for each individual in the nation of Israel. Each individual in the nation of Israel was literally saying by being baptized that I am no better than an alienated Gentile, that I am a sinner, and that I want to be associated with all of these other sinners who are being baptized for the forgiveness of sin. I want to be ready for the Messiah when he comes. That was John's message. Repent, the Messiah is coming. The kingdom of God is at hand. Be ready for that. So move to the end of the New Testament, and Jesus gives a command, baptize. Make disciples and baptize them. So what do the disciples do? It's just a simple transformation of a symbol they have been used to for their entire lives, except Jesus gives it new meaning. Jesus gives it meaning because now it is a symbol for an association, a union in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. And that brings us right back to the Great Commission, that now we go and we preach that same message. What's the purpose of baptism? Well, it's personal, but it's not private. Baptism is an outward confession of an internal transformation. It is staking your flag that you are for Christ. It is a confession of an internal transformation, a confession and identification with Jesus Christ. Baptism is an encouragement to everyone else who sees it. If they are a believer, it reminds them of their baptism. It reminds them of what they had committed to. It is a time of renewal of their fellowship with Christ and with God. For the unbeliever, it's a sign of hope. It's a sign of they too, by the grace of God and through the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, through the gift of faith, can repent and commit their lives to Jesus Christ and live for him and be transformed. So as we come to celebrate this baptism this morning, these five on the front row, they are saying these words. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. That is their testimony this morning. We're going to baptize five folks. We have prayed for baptisms and conversions, and we continue to do that and to pray for those. And so we celebrate those here. This is a celebration of the grace of God in the lives of five brothers and sisters. And so we're going to move now to the time of celebrating those baptisms. And if you have a special loved one who's being baptized and you need to get up and move someplace so you can see a little better, please feel free to do that. But we're going to begin our time of baptism, and I'm going to invite Sandy. Sandy, if you just come here for a moment and stand beside me. What we're going to do is have Josh read each testimony, and I will help each one into the tub, and we will celebrate their baptism. I would ask one thing, if at all possible, please keep all the bathrooms free for the next 15 minutes or so, because these folks are going to come out very cold, and they're going to want to get into a restroom where they can change, and they have designated places. So, okay, let us begin, Josh.
All right. On that note, I'm going to read for you the testimony of Sandy Baker. Sandy says, "Thank you, each and every one of you, for showing me that God is love. I'll be forever grateful to you all. I was a Jehovah's Witness for over 20 years of my life. I was taught to fear God and obey God and Jehovah's Witnesses' teachings. I separated myself and kids from this cult, and we lived godless for many years. Then we lost a loved one, and God was back in my life. I blamed him for not saving my loved one, and I had nothing but unkind words to describe him. Meanwhile, I became acquainted with Gloria and Mama Durham. They were the kindest, most God-loving people I ever met. Eventually, I wanted to learn more about this church, Providence, and what made it so special. To do this, I had to get out of the environment I was living in. One afternoon, four of us were having lunch. Suddenly, I felt now was the time to move forward and make a change. Immediately after lunch, I went across the street to another apartment complex and filled out an application for an apartment, sight unseen. I got the apartment, moved in, and once again met with Gloria for lunch. She invited me to Providence. I attended my first few services and felt at peace. I felt the love that you all have for one another, enjoyed learning from Pastor Rex's sermons about the Beatitudes and the Lord's Prayer. And then on Easter Sunday, I learned how Jesus so loved us and suffered for us. I learned about the Trinity and about how Jesus is one with God the Father and the Holy Spirit and so much more. Wow, God is love. We are forgiven our sins through Jesus' death. What an incredible, undeserved blessing for me. I started talking to God for the first time in my life, and I felt an emotional connection with my Heavenly Father. Once again, Gloria and I met for lunch, and I was going on and on about how blessed I feel. My new job, my new home, attending Providence Church, and meeting so many new, wonderful people, feeling God's love. I feel as though God had guided me through each of these decisions that I made. What a blessing. Gloria asked me if I had ever asked Jesus to come to my life. And I was confused and asked, how do I do that? And she said, you ask him in prayer. So then and there, I prayed quietly out loud and asked Jesus in my heart and in my life, and asked him to let me share it in this incredible sacrifice of forgiveness for my many sins and live a life that demonstrates God's love and guides others to want to know more like I did. On April 14th, 2023, I, Sandra Baker, trusted in Christ for salvation.
Don't worry, we're going to do this. Hold in just a second. Look at you.
Okay, thank you. All right.
I'm going to help you sit down.
You don't go in. Don't go in yet.
Yeah. I will help you with that. Sandy, based on your testimony of your faith in Jesus Christ, it's our privilege to baptize you today. Have you, Sandy, accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and have you come to believe that Christ died for the forgiveness of your sins?
Absolutely, yes.
And are you trusting in by faith alone in Christ alone for the salvation of your soul? Then it's my privilege, Sandy, to baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried in likeness of his death, risen to walk in newness of life.
Wasn't that?
You can can move that. I'd like to invite Nick Williams. Stay right here.
All right, and I will read for you all the testimony of Nick Williams. He writes, I grew up in a family with a mother who took me to church almost every Sunday. I was assumed I was a Christian, but at the age of 16, the church we'd been attending had just opened up after COVID, and I began going back. When going back, I met a friend, and he pulled me aside and invited me to Bible study with other believers and his mentor. This became an every Friday thing, and over time, with the reading of the Word and hearing the gospel in various ways, it finally all clicked for me. At that time, I truly understood my sin and my need for a Savior, and I put my faith and trust in Christ alone. The exact date I was saved is unknown, but it was around the beginning of 2021, and from then on, I've continued to be a student of the Word. I felt the church I was in at the time wasn't fitting the criteria of Scripture, so I went searching and came to Providence.
I don't think you need any steps. Just sit and face that direction. Yep. Nick, it's on the profession of that testimony that it is a privilege for us to baptize you today. Nick, are you trusting in Christ alone, by faith alone, for the salvation of your soul?
Yes, sir.
And if you come to believe that Jesus died for your sins and that you will live with him for eternity?
Yes, sir.
Is it your desire by this baptism to give testimony of your faith to the church today? Then it is my privilege and my honor, Nick, and my brother, to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in. Nick is going to sit here for a few moments because his good friend Andy is being baptized. So, Andy, I'd like to invite you.
And I'll read Andy's testimony for us all. And it says this. I believe my conversion to Christ started when I was attending a local church nearby. I remembered seeing this place as a church that was all about smiles and being happy, but it didn't seem so serious to me. And then I saw someone there who was different, and he seemed genuine. I remember being in a small group on a Wednesday night with about eight other students there, my brother included, and we were listening to his questions. It was mostly either myself or my brother answering the questions and being engaged. And the leader was, he was an introvert and didn't trust people, as he was telling me and my brother. I guess when he saw us being interactive, that opened him up to share his life more briefly and more thoroughly with us. Fast forward a bit, and he invited us to his house. The way he spoke about the Bible was something I'd never heard before. It attracted me. We continued to meet after that, and I wanted more, meeting after meeting. One day, a children's pastor at the church came along, and he played a program by Todd Friel about the gospel. It wasn't until I heard the law and the Ten Commandments being used to expose my need for Jesus that things began to make sense. I began to see my sin in the light. I saw what Christ had done for me, and since that time, I have trusted in Christ alone for salvation.
Andy, I'd like to invite you into the Lord. Come on, Andy.
Okay.
Yeah. Andy, are you trusting in Jesus as your Savior, and have you come to believe that he died for your sins?
Yes.
And are you trusting by faith alone in Christ alone for the salvation of your soul?
Yes.
Is it your desire to give testimony of that today?
Absolutely.
Then I baptize you, my brother Andy, in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, buried in his likeness of his death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Andy's not real fond of water. Ashley Raphael.
This is Ashley's testimony of faith. She writes, growing up, my mom had taken us to church all our lives. My mother was the worship leader. I used to dance and teach kids to dance at church. We were in the choir, knew a lot of songs, such as Haitian hymns, like the back of our hands, and knew specific scripture in Creole. As I got older, my family started to drift slower apart, and we stopped going to church. I then took the initiative to go to a church here in Lehigh when I was invited by a friend at school. I always wanted to have a relationship with God personally, and when I would see people on fire for the Lord, I would envy that and wonder how they are so committed. I did not have much knowledge of who God was. I just knew what I was taught in my traditional Haitian church, which was very surface-level teaching about prosperity, wealth, health, and demon slaying. I didn't understand the importance of Christ dying for our sins or why reading the Bible was important. I was just a typical churchgoer who was living deep in her sin, and I struggled with sexual immorality as well. Going to this church, I loved how emotional and charismatic the atmosphere was, quite different than the traditional Haitian churches. Fast forward to after high school, and I was regularly attending. There was one service I could remember crying to one of the leaders because I felt like I wasn't doing enough for God. I wasn't getting emotional during the services and feeling his presence like I thought I should. I envied how passionate others in the church were and how passionate others in the church were when they were, and that caused me to pull away even though I was still attending this church. I began to look at it more as a hangout. And then around November of 2021, Andy, my boyfriend, told me about an experience he had at someone's house who had given him the gospel. When he told me the first time, I didn't understand it. I thought it was too complex to grasp. Then another day at a stoplight in the evening, he told me the gospel again, and that was when it made sense. After that moment, I watched countless videos, and what I felt was awe and relief. Relief in knowing that Christ is our righteousness, that he suffered and died on our behalf because we couldn't keep the law, and we fell short of God's commands. Relief in knowing that I had nothing to do with gaining my salvation. It was all a work of God. Hearing the gospel is always a beautiful reminder that Christ made a way for us to be reconciled with the Father. We were separated from him in our sin. Since then, I've been growing to understand who God is, why the Bible is important, and what Christ did on the cross. My whole view of life has radically changed. The way I treat people, my view on certain issues, and my heart were transformed all because of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Would you like to step? No? Okay. Either way. Well done. Ashley, it's on the profession of that testimony that it is our privilege to baptize you this morning. Have you come to trust in Christ as your Savior and understand that Jesus died for your sins?
Yeah.
And are you trusting by faith alone in Christ alone for the salvation of your soul?
Yeah.
And it is your desire this morning to give testimony of that through this act of baptism? Then it is my privilege, Ashley, my sister, to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Stephanie.
Finally, we're asking Stephanie to come forward here, and I'm going to read her testimony for us, and then we'll proceed with the baptism. This is Stephanie's testimony. She writes, before coming to Christ, my life was dictated by crippling fears and anxiety, fear of people, fear of not being loved, fear of losing the people and places that I hold dearest in my heart. I've chased places, things, and people that were wrong for me so I could feel security in a way of bypassing the physical pains of my fears. I never felt safe. When my world of chaos and heartache began, it began about 2 years ago. My greatest fears were playing out in front of me. I remember vividly crying out amid one of the scariest events. Why do these things keep happening? When will this end? I remember being with a dear friend in New York when I was at my worst. And as she saw how badly I was struggling, she told me her heart ached for me. And she prayed with me and asked God to not leave my side. Months later, my best friend held me tight while I was breaking down. She showed me I was safe, that God always provides. He knew how much I needed her and her family. My best friends literally and figuratively gave me God's word. Learning God's word changed my world. I learned of my sin and need. Jesus taught me forgiveness. He purchased my forgiveness by his death on the cross. I used to hold anger for those that hurt me, for those who hurt my loved ones. With Christ's love, I've learned to let go of that anger and forgive those who have brought incredible fear and pain to my life. With that comes feeling like I can breathe and continue my path without heartache. Now when I experience what most would call coincidence, I see pieces of God's plan coming together. Now, instead of fears and anxieties crippling me, I've been able to trust God, knowing there's a reason, a purpose, knowing he will take these troubles from me and do what is necessary with them. I give it all to God. When I start to catch myself beginning to dwell on heartache or fear, I cry out to Jesus. I know having him by my side prevents me from falling into painful darkness and keeps the light shining brighter than before. With his friendship and love, I'm able to breathe and focus. I bask in gratitude, feeling lighter and that I can breathe, something I wasn't doing because of my fears and because I didn't trust in God. Every day I see the evidence of God's love all around us. We were made by love, with love, and for love. There have always been conditions on love, and I've never felt like I had that home. I've never felt safe. I can now say that I'm trusting in Christ alone. He met the conditions of God's love for me. I'm now walking with the Lord, and I'm home. I feel the security of his unconditional love. I feel my broken heart of my passions being healed, and I feel safe.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. You need a ladder?
It's not cold. You guys warmed it up for her.
It's cold now.
It's cold now. All right. Stephanie, it's on the basis of your profession that we're going to baptize you here today. All right. Have you trusted in Christ for salvation of your sins? And you're trusting in Christ alone, by faith alone, for the salvation of your soul? On the basis of your profession, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, risen to walk in the newness of life.